Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It is time to chat with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, dropping by as he does each and every Monday. Good morning, Vern.
I can't tell you how many times I've called people in Biloxi, dating back to Brett Favre's retirement in Green Bay. We were calling Bonita Favre, his mother, down there in Biloxi. It was the place to be back in the day when Brett Favre couldn't decide whether or not he wanted to return to the Green Bay Packers. So, yes, likening Gavelston to Fiji is perfect.
Hang on a second. You buried the lead. Brett Favre's mother is named Bonita Favre?
Bonita, yes.
Like, yeah. Bonita
still
Flats?
Have Miss Bonita's cell phone number in my phone.
Bonita Favre.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
It is, and she defended her son no matter what we said about him.
Oh, yeah. Well, good. That's what a mom should do, right?
As she should.
I bet Biloxi has a lot of buildings that were built on the back of Favre.
Nice.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like a nice
Well,
gym.
On the back of taxpayers, really.
Nice gymnasium, mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Biloxi's probably swimming in facilities.
Yet to make it down there, but it's certainly on the list.
Mm.
All right, 2 out of 3 losing to the Tigers. I'm sure the text line was not happy. We did read a tweet asking if they had a hitting or a text to you that asking if they had a hitting coach. If not, McIntyre. You know, they've got that kind of stuff. So the tenor this weekend. I mean, look, they're going to finish April with a winning record. That's outstanding. Big picture, folks. Big picture, right?
Yeah, and listen, there's really only one thing, in my opinion, that you could be nervous about if you're a Royals fan. You should focus, like you're saying, on the record of 17-12, but there is that other record. The Royals now 0-4 in rubber games. 2 against the Orioles, 1 against the Mets, and then yesterday against the Detroit Tigers. You see their inability to win that finale against the upper echelon teams right now in Major League Baseball. Like you said, I'm not overly concerned about it, but if there was something to monitor moving forward as we get ready to flip the calendar to May, it's the fact that the Royals are 12-2 against the teams below 500, 5-10 against the teams above 500. Again, just something to monitor. Nothing to worry about because, again, had you told me at the beginning of the year, as I'm still maintained through May guy, that you could start off 17-12 and you're going to have a tough time against teams above 500, I'd sign off on it every single day of the week. So disappointing that you didn't win that game yesterday. I thought it had a chance to be the most satisfying win of the season, but there's no shame in getting carved up by Tarek Skubal. He's going to do that to a lot of guys this season. The other loss in Detroit, yeah, you could lay it at the feet of Chris Stratton, but the Royals somehow lost game 2 of this series despite the fact that the Tigers made 4 errors. That hurts me for a team that prides itself on pitching defense and team speed. When the other team gives you that many opportunities, you need to pounce, and the Royals let that one slip away back on Saturday. Yesterday, you just turn the page, and you get ready for this set starting up tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Bob, I blame you a portion of this on you.
The hell did I do?
Because you disrespected Tarek Skubal before the season
started.
Oh,
that's right, I did.
You're like, I've never heard of this guy.
Yeah, now he's out there dealing.
Now he shut us up for a day.
Actually, I am taking the blame because when the Royals were up, what, 5-1 on Saturday, was it? I tweet, or 4-1, whatever.
3-1.
3-1. 3-1. And I sent out a tweet, man, this team is so much fun to watch. And they've not been good since I sent out that tweet. So blame me, I guess, right?
But I'm with you, Vern. Like, if you gave me the month of the season, the first month of the season, told me winning month. That's all I wanted.
Yeah, like, it's great.
I can't go back and say, well, they were this amount ahead. They built themselves a big gap, and then maybe it shrunk a little bit. I'll take a winning month.
Still top five in Major League Baseball as far as run differential, and it's not smoke and mirrors. This doesn't remind me of 2021, last year's Pittsburgh Pirate team that got off to a really good start in April. Man, you could look at this offense right now. Vinny Pasquantino's 0 for his last 18. Hunter Renfro's 1 for his last 21. Mm. Nelson Velasquez is 0 for his last 20. MJ Melendez is 1 for his last 20. Outside of the top four hitters in this lineup, Michael, Vinny, Bobby, Salvi, outside of those top four, in the last 9 games, the Royals have driven in 3 runs. Outside of those guys, 2 of them were hit by pitches. You look at the last 9 games, 26 of the last 29 runs driven in are from those top four hitters. You don't have a number 5 hitter right now. MJ, Velasquez, Renfro, the guys that are supposed to be slugging are not slugging whatsoever, and yet you've won 4 of 6. No one's hitting on this team outside of the guys we expected to hit than the guys that hit last year for a 106 loss team.
Mm-hmm.
And you've still won 4 of 6. You still have the third best run differential in sports. You're still 5 games above 500. And that speaks to a pitching staff that has the 5th best ERA in baseball, a rotation that has the 3rd best ERA in baseball, a defense that has saved more runs than any other unit in baseball, and a team speed that has the Royals ranked in the top 5. Again, the way that this team is winning is so long as they stay healthy, and we'll see tonight with Alec Marsh on the shelf and Jonathan Boland getting the start. So long as this team can stay healthy, they have what sustains. We all remember 14 and 15. That was a middle of the road offense. That's what this team has right now, like the 15th, 16th, 17th best offense in Major League Baseball. But we all know nothing is more difficult than hitting a pitch in the big leagues. Offenses tend to go up and down. So the fact that this team isn't asking this offense to do really any of the heavy lifting, man, that's the perfect recipe for a market like this, for a team like this, with a pitching staff like this, the perfect recipe to sustain, to maintain through May, and hopefully give us an exciting fall of baseball out at the K.
Well, there's a couple of ways we can go here, Vern, because number one, you mentioned the records between, like, the Chicago former Royals and the Kansas City Royals and the teams of that nature versus the better teams, right? Like,
yeah.
But that's like, this is where we are though in the growth of this team. They're not quite ready to compete with the others, but they're also taking out the punishment on the teams that they should be beating up on, right? They're not losing to losers. They're kicking their ass. And yeah, they're getting beat by some better teams, but that's part of the growing up process. Like, we're in the process of that, like that toddler stage right now. We're still trying to figure things out. And that's kind of the way it works in baseball. And that's okay, isn't it?
Yeah, no argument. To me, even, five and 10 record against teams with a record above 500. Let's say that's flipped. It's 10-5, and this team's sitting 22-7. They're in first place, and everyone's feeling good. Okay, I mean, the calendar still says April. You still have 5 more months to play, despite the fact that there are some slumping bats. And yes, like you point out, they've lost more than they've won against the upper echelon teams in Major League Baseball. You have 5 more months to prove whatever it is you need to prove to yourself, mm-hmm. to the fan base, to other teams around Major League Baseball. And even as I say that, the guys that are struggling, man, MJ won 3 games for this team in the first 2 weeks of the season. For as much as he's grinding right now, I don't think it's a difficult fix. I think he's been through it enough that his confidence isn't going to be destroyed like maybe it was in the first half of last season. Vinny Pasquantino's already been through it. He'll persevere. Hunter Renfro's been around for 10 years. Now, this might just be the end of Hunter Renfro, but internally, confidence-wise, if anybody's going to be able to hearken back to how I got out of it before, it's Hunter Renfro. And you know, Nelson Velasquez, you need to start seeing some extra base thump from him. He hasn't collected an extra base in 2.5 weeks, hasn't homered since the second week of the season. But the fact is, we have, again, 133 games remaining in the season. So the tests are still numerous that lie in front of this team. Again, nobody really at the core of this squad has played a meaningful game in May, June, July, or August. So regardless what they do in April, we're all going to have our arms folded for the next 5 months waiting to see what this team can prove to us. Now, you look at some of the, you know, projections. Right now, Fangraphs has the Royals projected to finish in fourth in this division. They still have the Twins walking away as division champions. I don't know if you guys have seen what they're doing.
Hey, they won seven in a row, bro. Like, hey, it's on.
Have you guys heard Rocco Baldelli's explanation of the rally sausage that they have in Minnesota? If not, Bob, I think it is something that you will very much enjoy. And if you guys could play that before you get out at 10 a.m., I think you'll get a nice little chuckle
Nathan,
out of it.
Nathan, can you find that sound, please?
I'm afraid to Google rally sausage. Could you Google that
Nathan,
for us,
find Nathan? The audio.
Rocco Baldelli.
Rocco Baldelli's rally sausage?
Yes, that's what you want. It is a great soundbite. Mm. And look, listen, nobody's rooting for the Twins, but this does make them somewhat endearing.
All right, I got
to shout out to Brad
that.
Keller, too. Brad Keller going to be making a start for the White Sox.
I told you, Brad Keller, an In-N-Out burger and a call made him a White Sox. So I was having a conversation with myself over the weekend about getting Mike Trout. Not go rescue this gentleman from what we call purgatory in Anaheim?
Galveston of baseball.
Yeah. Bring him to Kansas City because we need a center fielder. We ain't got no one who can patrol center field right now. That guy Isbell, he looks like he drinks a lot of Busch Light. But I would go out and
just because
get...
of the tattoos.
No, I don't know. I was just looking at him the other day. I'm like, that looks like a guy who could put down a 30 pack of Busch Light. I don't know why I thought that.
He's very bowling ball esque, but he is cut up. He's not a chubby individual, which is what I would assume people think when they hear Busch Light.
No, I don't think he's chubby at all. No, he's light. He's drinking the light beer because he cares about his figure. So could we go get Mike Trout and rescue him from Galveston?
Sure. Yeah, why not? I mean, you have a direct line to John Sherman. That's the guy that's ultimately going to make the decision to bring on that $50 million contract of Mike Trout.
We talked to John about Shohei Ohtani, and he said, we'll see, which I guess his kids have said means no. But look,
I think you brought up Juan Soto already earlier this year.
He laughed at that. I think Juan found himself a spot in the Bronx.
Now, is this a trade for Mike Trout or
deadline trade. Trade. You'll flip them like Jonathan Bolin. If he pitches well tonight, he can go to Anaheim and we'll take Mike Trout back in return.
Straight up.
Good leadoff hitter. Hits home runs, really good defensive player, and we won't need him for a lot of games where he could get hurt. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
He's only got a contract for 2030.
If you believe that Salvi can be the catcher for this team over the next 5 to 7 years, you have some trade bait with some young catchers in the organization. The Park Hill product, Carter Jensen, through 21 games, has an OPS north of 1,000.
There you go.
The kid you drafted last year in the first round, Blake Mitchell, has a 17-game on-base streak, just like Salvador Perez. So some catching depth right now in the organization, some hitting depth, finally some prospects in this system with a bat doing something.
Right, so get rid of him and bring in Mike Trout.
All right.
You mentioned Salvi. I mean, my God, is America aware of how good he is right now? Like, is America going to accept that Salvador Perez is dominating baseball, or because he doesn't wear the pinstripes, we're not allowed to say that?
No, he's starting to get not only love on a national level for what he's doing this year, but now the bigger picture, the career, the soon-to-be 9-time All-Star, 5-time Gold Glover, Silver Slugger. You're starting to see his name come up more for Cooperstown on a national level from people that are going to be voting for who makes it into baseball's Hall of Fame. Honestly, I don't know if even people in Kansas City truly appreciate what Salvi's doing this season. Case can be made. This is the best start he's had in his 12-13-year career. On base in 18 straight, setting a new franchise or a new career high. The last time he sniffed a stretch like this was 12 years ago. He was a completely different person, a completely different build, a completely different hitter on a completely different team. And now an OPS near 1,100. He's hitting .344 in this 18-game stretch. And Jesse Newell just did a great piece in the Kansas City Star about how defensively Salvi is at his best right now, especially when it comes to framing and receiving behind the dish. For as great as he's been offensively, this might be the finest defensive, soon-to-be 34-year-old that this game has seen in a while. Selby turns 34 on May 10th and is playing the best baseball of his life. It's remarkable, but it's also not surprising whatsoever when you see how hard he works, the kind of energy that he was bringing even in those 100 loss seasons on a 100-degree day and an afternoon tilt in August. Salvi smiling, excited to play, and now having a pitching staff, having someone that he sees as his contemporary and Bobby Witt Jr., someone that cares as much, works as hard. Yeah, it has fired up Salvi. We talked about it dating back to spring training, and the evidence is clear 29 games into the season. Salvi knows if I can get one more run into the postseason with the second incarnation of Royals baseball, that to go along with 300 home runs, multiple gold gloves, and 9 All-Star games, the resume is starting to speak for itself, and it should find him in Cooperstown. Yep. When it's all said and done, give them 3-4 more productive offensive seasons, and I don't see how you keep them out.
What are we, 47 homers now away from 300, too, right? That could legitimately happen this year. I don't think it will, but it could legitimately happen this year or next year. He hits that 300 mark. There's only, what, 9 other catchers that have hit 300 in the history of baseball? I mean, it puts him in rarefied air, Vern.
Yeah, all of them are in the Hall of Fame outside of Lance Parrish. I don't know if we respected the defense that Lance Parrish was playing back in the day for those championship Detroit Tigers teams.
No one did.
But listen, offensively, defensively, and then again, the putting your team on a national level by getting to the postseason tends to remind those voters that don't often pay attention to what's going on in Kansas City. Getting them to October will be key for Salvi.
When Salvi's getting mentioned, like getting praised for framing pitches. Like,
I know.
Like what's next? Kelsey blocks? Is that the next thing?
That's the next thing,
Kelsey's an elite blocker? Because that was always kind of the knock on Salvi, right?
He's not George Kittle. He doesn't block as well as Kittle.
Yeah. So if Salvi's getting that kind of love now, just bash a couple more home runs, and he'll be a lock.
Yeah, a Hall of Fame talent improves his only blemish is basically what we're seeing from Salvi.
Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld, 70 today, Vern.
Looks good.
Yeah, he does.
Looks good. Sometimes a little bit too much makeup, you're Jerry Seinfeld. You don't need to fight it. Everyone's cool with it. Look at how Larry David's handled getting older. He's not fighting it whatsoever.
Nah, you can't fight it. 70 years old. Also, Willie Nelson, 91 today. I didn't know Jerry
Bob McClure's birthday today.
Oh, that's right. It is Bob McClure's birthday. Yeah, famously named Strugglesworth here on this station.
Yeah.
I thought it was Troy McClure.
Hi, I'm Troy McClure.
Yes. Bob McClure, 70, what did I say, 72 today, I believe?
I don't know, did you?
I believe so.
Happy birthday.
Bob McClure.
Yeah. All right, Vern.
Go, Bob.
Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you.
Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, back at it tonight. Royals at Toronto, 6:07 first pitch. Vern's on at 5 today. Get you set for Royals and Blue Jays.
One more from the what is your Galveston texts from the 913. Visiting Branson is similar to visiting a retirement home on activity day.
Oh, wow. We may have missed out on this wide receiver. We'll tell you who next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.